you know, we're now partway through a series of meditations that focus on the supreme greatness of our Lord Jesus. And when I introduced the series, just a little over a month now ago, I said that, God willing, we would discover our Lord Jesus is great in all his offices. Great prophet, great priest, the great king. That he's greater than the temple, greater than Jonah, greater than Solomon, greater than Jacob, greater than Abraham, greater than all the prophets, greater than the angels, and greater than all the sacrifices of Old Testament days. Well, this week it falls to me to look with you very briefly at the Saviour as greater than Jonah. My Bible reading comes from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and it runs as follows. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees said, Master, we would see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For even as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also shall the Son of Man be to this generation. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the stomach of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Well, the first point which I note is that our Lord taught plainly that both Jonah himself and the men of Nineveh were genuine historical people. But the Old Testament account of the experiences of Jonah doesn't fall into the category of fairy tale or fable. It is literal, solid history. Indeed, we discover from one of the history books in the Old Testament that Jonah came from Gath-Hepher. It was a small town in Israel, which, as it happened, lay only about 2 miles from that of Nazareth, where, of course, some 8 centuries later, our Lord himself spent most of his life on earth. In our reading, Jesus said of himself that a greater than Jonah is here. I'm going to suggest that our Lord was greater than Jonah in at least 4 respects. First, he was greater in his person. The Old Testament history book which mentions Jonah says of one King Jeroboam II of Israel that he restored the border of Israel according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the prophet who was from Gath. Ever. Jonah, that is, was classed as God's servant, in itself a very highly privileged position, but nothing to be compared to that of our Lord, who was, as we know well, God's one and only Son. A second, the Lord Jesus was greater in his experience. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the stomach of the great fish, our Lord said. But he, the Son of Man, would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That is to say, although Jonah was miraculously preserved for some lengthy period in, figuratively speaking, the tomb of the sea monster's stomach, our Lord, having actually died, spent some time in the literal tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. I should have put that up. Just ignore it. Ignore it, Ray. Just let it. It'll be an advert. They've cottoned on to the fact we tend to be here about now. They'll give in. That although Jonah was, in what you might say, figuratively speaking, was a tomb, the stomach of a fish, our Lord was literally in a tomb, having actually died. Although it was clearly miraculous that Jonah emerged unharmed from the insides of that great fish, albeit later to die when his time came, that was nothing compared to the bodily resurrection of our Saviour, who now lives, never more to die. And we can hear his words spoken last book of the Bible: I am the living one. I became dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Now, in passing, we perhaps ought to note that the correct translation of our Lord's words does not specify that this great fish which swallowed Jonah was a whale. Nor does the Old Testament account of the incident. We are not told what known species of fish this huge sea creature came from, or for that matter whether it came from any known species. And frankly, as one preacher put it, it doesn't make a whale of a difference what kind of sea creature it was. And again, we should note that our Lord's claim that he would be buried for 3 days and three nights is perfectly consistent with the fact that he died on the afternoon of Good Friday to rise again very early on the following Sunday. The explanation, very simple, lies in the Jewish way of reckoning time. To the Jews of our Lord's day, and I can document it, 3 days and three nights could mean the combination of any part of three separate days. And in point of fact, of course, our Saviour was in the grave for parts of 3 days. Third, the Lord Jesus was greater than Jonah in his life and in his character. Whereas Jonah was initially disobedient to God's word, choosing to take some Mediterranean cruise to Spain rather than go to Nineveh and preach God's message there, the Lord Jesus, we're told in the Gospels, did always and only those things which pleased the Father. Yes, Jonah was prepared to sacrifice his life on one occasion to appease the wrath of God and save a shipload of heathen mariners from God's judgment. But it was his sin, his disobedience, which had caused their lives to be endangered. Whereas the Lord Jesus actually did give his life to appease the wrath of God and to save others, even though it was their sin, not his, which exposed them to God's judgment. In the closing scene of the Old Testament book which carries his name, we see Jonah, having left the great city of Nineveh, sitting under a booth, surveying the city and hoping against hope that the city would yet be destroyed within 40 days. Whereas the New Testament Gospel of Luke tells us how our Lord Jesus, approaching the great city of Jerusalem for the last time, wept because its unbelief and rejection of him would result in its destruction 40 years later. And finally, the Lord Jesus was greater than Jonah in his preaching. Jonah's sermon was a message of judgment only, consisting of just 5 words in his language, just 8 words in ours: yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown, although the king of Nineveh and his people reason quite correctly that God would not have sent Jonah to alert them to this forthcoming judgment unless he, God, was willing to change his declared plans for them if they first believed his word and changed their ways, which they were quick to do. But although our Lord sounded even more solemn notes of warning for those who reject him, and who would therefore, as he said, die in their sins to face God unforgiven, although his message did sound solemn notes of warning, his was combined with the most wonderful words of invitation and grace, declaring, as he did, that God had sent him, God's own Son, into the world, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus was, as he said, greater than Jonah, greater in his person as God's Son, greater in his experience of literal death and resurrection, greater in his life as being free from sin and disobedience to God, greater in his preaching of pardon and salvation. And yet, although he was immeasurably greater than Jonah, it was a fact that the men of Jonah's day responded with faith and repentance to the preaching of Jonah, whereas the men of our Lord's day chose to either ignore or reject him. And it is for this reason that our Lord declared most solemnly that the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. And let us ensure, by, if I can use the words of the Apostle Paul, by our repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus, let us ensure that they will have no occasion to rise up against us also.